Talk 560 KSFO. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Now, I'd say, since the war, our methods, our techniques, that is, and those of the communists have become very much the same. I mean, occasionally, we have to do wicked things. Very wicked things indeed. But you can't be less wicked than your enemies simply because your government's policy is benevolent.
We can't wait for Congress to solve it. Where I can act on my own without Congress, I'm going to do so. And today I'm here to act, to help make Raleigh, Durham, and America a magnet for the good high-tech manufacturing jobs.
All right, we heard
that
it. Okay, we got it. So we've now moved into a punitive dictatorship, almost an open dictatorship. In fact, almost a boasting dictatorship under this fraudulent, leftist, pacifist Obama. He has now become a full-blown spy enforcer, a full-blown police state enforcer, a full-blown Congress jumper. He's turning us into communist China step by step, day by day. It's funny that today's New York Times has a lead story to sort of soften the fact that he's become overtly what he has become to all of us from the day he began. And the headline in the Times is Obama's Path from Critic to Defender of Spying. This is very interesting. It just shows you that there was a genius in 1998 who gave a speech that you didn't listen to. 1998, there was a genius in America who gave a speech before the Commonwealth Club that was entitled Beware the Government Media Complex. His name, Michael Savage. Ignored by all, banned in Britain because of his views, spit upon by fake conservatives in the media. No one came to his aid. He was left on a hilltop alone with his GPS trying to give out his position to be rescued, and no one came to rescue him. But he escaped from that hilltop, and now he's on a new hilltop on the Savage Nation, broadcasting to over 200 stations, including, by the way, the best stations in America. And I'm trying to warn you once again the danger we are in under this fraudulent liberal. He used liberalism to introduce something quite the contrary. And we're going to talk about that. The headline on the Drudge Report ties in with what Obama's doing to you. NSA collects millions of text messages daily in untargeted global sweep. The National Security Agency has collected almost 200 million text messages a day, using them to extract data collection, including location, contact networks, and credit card details, according to top secret documents. I'll read more about this. Your government is now totally out of control. It's a runaway train, and it's under Obama. So I'm going to ask you a question as we go into this. Do you think the Islamofascists have won? I have to bring you back to 9/11. After 9/11, the Patriot Act was passed, and it was a rather benign act used to stop the Islamofascists overseas from coming here and hitting us. Under Obama, he took that power and turned it on all of us. And I believe we now live in a state of fear, government spying, overwhelming government power in the name of security. Have the Islamofascists won, in fact? Or do you feel safer under Obama's police state? Many of you probably feel much safer under Obama's police state. You would support Obama if they dragged 1,000 people off the street every day and say, well, it's for the good of the nation. They were disturbing the social order. And we need calm. We need to be able to watch our porn and our football and smoke our dope. I mean, we need our dope, our football, and our porn. We don't need those rabble-rousers telling us about a darn police state. I don't have anything to hide. What am I afraid of? Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. And what I'm trying to do is give you America, not Obama's view of what America should be. Obama's Path from Critic to Defender of Spying is the headline story. There's another headline story that I can't omit before I get into this. Dianne Feinstein, who was one of the sleaziest, slimiest creatures in the history of the U.S. Senate, in my opinion, who had the face of being a defender of Israel's right to exist, has now attacked Israel and taken the side of Iran. She said, we cannot let Israel determine when and where the United States goes to war. And then she said, we absolutely should not put in sanctions against Iran. We should give them a chance to prove that they're not the Islamo-fascist that everyone knows they are. This is a woman who is probably the most powerful woman in America. She chairs the United States Senate Intelligence Committee. She knows the threat that Iran poses to the world, and yet she's taken their side. And yet she said, give the fascists a chance. And yet she chooses to attack poor little Israel, stuck in the Middle East, surrounded by those who would cut their throats and kill their children. And anything Dianne Feinstein does, you have to ask, follow the money. Her and her husband, in my opinion, never do anything politically unless it benefits them personally. Now, we can't prove any of that. That's all opinion. But I can guarantee you there's something in this for her. Because it makes no sense that Dianne Feinstein would attack Israel like this. Clip one, please, Feinstein. Let me hear it.
And let me acknowledge Israel's real, well-founded concerns that a nuclear-armed Iran would threaten its very existence. I don't disagree with that. I agree with it. But we're there yet. While I recognize and share Israel's concerns, we cannot let Israel determine when, where the United States goes to war.
Do you have any idea what she just said? Do you have any idea what she said? Hitler has said he will kill all the Jews, but we're going to give him a chance to prove he won't kill all the Jews. And we're not going to let the Jews defend themselves because they haven't been killed yet. So we'll let Hitler build the death camps. We'll let him build the railroad lines into the death camps. And we're not going to bomb those railroad lines because Hitler said he's not going to kill the Jews, even though he's building the ability to kill the Jews. Do you have any idea what this woman is? Do you have any idea what this government has become under these left-wing liars? These greedy liars? There's nothing in this, any of this, that's not about money. Nothing in it except money, 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 money. It's all about the money. Make no mistake about it. It's all fraudulent. They may as well be created by a television program that fabricates their faces and their voices, and that they themselves don't actually exist. It's as though there's a supercomputer running the world right now, and that there is no Obama, there is no Feinstein, there is no Cornyn, there is no Graham, there is no Rubio, that they're all created in some laboratory, in some computer laboratory, to give little speeches to incite our anger, to incite our love, to incite our respect, to get us to vote for them as though there's actually a chance in the voting process anymore. Meanwhile, we're reading that we're living in a police state. And we see that there is no press anymore. We see that the New York Times is now a wholly owned organ of the Obama administration. Michael Savage wrote in 1998 in his speech before the Commonwealth Club, beware the government media complex. Boy, was I right. I wish I had been wrong. Let me take a quick couple of calls, and I'll ask you the question again. Do you think the Islamo-fascists have won? I mean, I do. They've won. They've turned us into a police state. They've given the government the right to spy on us, to question us, to fear us. And by the way, they haven't stopped the Islamo-fascists, did they? What happened at the Boston Marathon bombing with the great police state? How come the Islamo-fascists have won? How come they were able to get away with the Boston Marathon bombing, the Sarnoff brothers, while every one of us now is suspect to the hidden spies in this government, under this so-called liberal, under this so-called constitutional lawyer, under this so-called man of peace? How many years have I warned you that when fascism returned to America, it would not be wearing a swastika, it would not be playing the Horst Wessel song, it would be screaming and singing, give peace a chance, and it would be wearing a green cap. You know, in Australia, they call the greens a watermelon. They're green on the outside and red on the inside. Very interesting, isn't it? The Australians know what's going on, but we are so stupid, it's frightening. 855-407-282, it's the Savage Nation. Let's start with some calls. David on WABC, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
I was going to talk to you about the show, but first I want to say we have to get by the next 3 years, and please God, we'll still have a country left when he gets out, because until he gets out,
How are we going to have a country left if he just said he's going to bypass Congress whenever he wishes? How are we going to get by? The man is doing everything he can to dismantle and destroy the nation and the nation's institutions and alliances. How long do you think we can take much more of this before there's nothing left in this nation to hold on to?
I've got to believe that we can and we will.
Where's the Congress to step up and say, no, you won't? No, you won't. You're not stepping over us. You're not a dictator. We're going to stop you. Tell me who in Congress is going to do that.
No one's going to do that. But we're going to survive, and we will learn our lesson in not being so stupid.
All right, fine. Okay, so you're a Pollyanna. You believe we can survive this? I'm not so sure. What else is on your mind, Michael?
I wanted to talk about the new show. I'm Lenny Bruce's first cousin. I had spoken to you before the show
started. Oh, yeah. Remember that.
His father and my mother were twins. But I wanted to tell you how I feel about the show. It's exciting. It's even better than it was at night. Somehow it's different during the day. And the fact that you're mixing up what you're talking about between politics, and the other day you were talking about the hereafter, whether you agree with it or not, it's exciting. You feel like you're alive when you're listening to it. And I'm not blowing smoke. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, yesterday I did a show on death and dying for 3 straight hours without taking a breath. The callers were awesome. And it's funny, when I got off the air, one friend called me asking me if I was okay. I said, why are you calling me? He said, I don't know, just wondering how you are. I said, why? I said, wait a minute, did you hear the show? He said, yes, and I'm worried for you. I don't understand that. Why would I be worried if I talked about death and dying for 3 hours? Is that too morbid?
I thought it was fascinating, and people are so tired of hearing the same thing. How many people are unemployed? How many people want to hear something different, and you're doing it, and it's really awesome. So, kudos to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bruce. I know your name isn't Lenny Bruce, but I know that you're related to him, so you have a little of his blood running in your brain, and I appreciate your listenership. I do, and I thank you for the compliments about the new show. 855-407-2282. The main question today is, have the Islamo-fascists won after 9/11? We now live in a state of spying, fear, overwhelming government power in the name of security. And I'm asking, do you really feel safer under Obama's spy state? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
It is the Savage Nation. We're sitting here in stunned amazement that Obama the leftist, Obama the constitutional lawyer, Obama the liberal, would now introduce a police state equivalent to that of the East German Stasi. In terms of spying, it's about 1,000-fold greater than what the Stasi had on German citizens. And yet, the New York Times, always being a Stalinist front rag, is now defending him as a spy. And they're trying to color it, because tomorrow he's going to give a speech, by the way. Tomorrow he's going to give a speech trying to justify the spying. And so they write a puff piece today in which they say back in 07 when he was a candidate, he gave a speech and he described the surveillance state run amok, and he vowed to rein it in. They say, Obama said this, that means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens, no more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. More than 6 years later, they write, the one-time constitutional lawyer is now the commander-in-chief presiding over a surveillance state that some of his own advisors think has once again gotten out of control. On Friday, Obama will give another speech, this time at the Injustice Department, defending government spying, even as he adjusts it to address a wave of public concern over civil liberties. Now, here comes the puff piece by Peter Baker, the New York Times Stasi writer. The journey between those two speeches reflects the transition from the backbench of the United States Senate to the chair behind the resolute desk in the Oval Office. I want you to listen to that sentence again. The transition from the back bench of the U.S. Senate, as though that's nothing, get it, to the chair behind the resolute desk in the Oval Office? You mean that gives him the authority to do anything he wishes? Like other presidents before him, the idealistic candidate, skeptical of government power, found that the tricky trade-offs of national security issues look different to the person charged with using that power to ensure public safety. Really? Really, is that correct? And yet when Bush enacted 1/50th of these powers, the leftist liar screamed he was a Nazi fascist from hell. And now we have all the advisors around Obama saying, oh, you have to do this because there are people out there every day who are plotting. The notion that we would put down a tool that would protect people here in America is hard to fathom. Well, what did those tools do for us when it came to the Sarnoff brothers and their plans to set off bombs at the Boston Marathon race? Nothing. Why did they give a pass to those Muslim terrorists who were plotting to throw off the bomb? And so don't use it as justification to spy on the rest of us when we know, in fact, they're not using it to spy to stop the Islamo-fascists. They're using it to intimidate the rest of us. Did you hear me? Well, anyway, you get the picture. I think I've painted the picture sufficient for you to understand the question. I hope so. NSA collects millions of text messages daily in untargeted global sweep. This is beyond anything I could believe they would be doing. More than 5 million missed call alerts. 1.6 million border crossings a day from network roaming alerts. 110,000 names from electronic business cards. 800,000 financial transactions through text-to-text payments or linking credit cards to phone users. The agency was able to extract geolocation data from more than 76,000 text messages a day. 76,000 text messages a day. Your travel information. Your purchasing information. You hear me? This is what your government is doing to you. This is what they're doing to our allies in Great Britain. They're doing it to everyone except those who would harm us, who are the Islamo-fascists, both amongst us and outside this nation. And so I'll take your calls on my primary question when I return, which is, do you agree with me, in fact, that the Islamo-fascists have actually won their war against the West? Think about what I just said to you. What do they actually have to do to win? They're now training the FBI through CAIR. They're training the NSA through CAIR. They're training the Justice Department through CAIR. They're not allowed to spy on anyone inside a mosque, but they can suspect anyone inside a church. Shall I go down the list of what the upside down, the topsy-turvy world is under this fraudulent leftist administration? Because I intend to do so for the rest of the day. Thank you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about the astonishing link between Obama and the New York Times in particular, where they are now supporting his massive spying and his intrusion upon ordinary citizens in order to protect us from Islamo-fascism without saying so. Obama's path from critic to defender of spying. Views shaped by plot warning. Speech tomorrow, Friday. And we're told that every day there are people plotting to hurt us. And that big brother, Obama, is protecting us around the clock. In between golf vacations and trips to surf in Hawaii, he's really watching the computers which tell him who the evil ones are, who are plotting to get us. Don't worry, he is really in charge. And so his longtime advisor, spokesmouth, David Floof, says this. There are people out there every day who are plotting. The notion that we would put down a tool that would protect people here in America is hard to fathom. Mr. Floof, can you tell us how this tool helped you stop the Boston Marathon bombing and why you didn't intervene when you knew the Sarnoff brothers were planning to bomb the Boston run? Why is it that you use this tool on innocent people, but you look the other way when you actually find guilty people, is what most Americans would like to ask in front of a court of law called a Senate hearing or a congressional hearing. It's time for a congressional hearing on Obama's spying. We need an independent counsel to prosecute who's ever behind this. And I don't understand where the Republicans are in this. This could put them center stage, not only for the American people and for freedom itself, but for their own party's sake. We demand that they produce such a hearing. Why is there no hearing on any of these things? It's like a single party, a single government, a Democrat, Republican government, an oligarchy. There's no differential between the two in almost every case, except in window dressing lately. And there used to be a difference. There is no difference. It's window dressing. It's as though they're created by a computer, and both sides are created to look as though they oppose each other on certain issues. But in fact, it's being run by a few hands who actually create the computer programs, which are digitally enhanced to make them look like senators and congressmen who don't even exist. They may as well not exist. They may as well not exist. One of the Roman emperors got so angry at the Senate, he removed one of the senators and he put a horse in his chair. I think it was Caligula. Not that he was a doll. He put a horse in the seat of the senator. And he said that the horse has as much sense as he did, so I put a horse in there. Well, that was then. Now they don't need to put a horse in the chair of a senator. All they need to do is make believe the senator actually exists by creating a computerized image of a senator and putting the computerized image out there giving false speeches that don't exist. It's unbelievable to me. So I'll take your calls on this. Jose on WABC, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Mike. And I absolutely agree with you that they've won. I mean, if you look at things financially, $4 trillion the cost of these two wars, and who knows when they're going to end. It's a really sad state, and there's got to be some kind of infiltration.
How much money have we spent on Iraq, which is now going up in smoke? How many men have lost their lives and their limbs, their hearts and their minds, fighting the war in Iraq to liberate Shiites who then turned on us, sold the oil to China, and now, of course, are turning the entire nation over to Iran?
And we've got nothing back in return. Nothing back in return, and we probably won't see anything back in return from Afghanistan either.
No, what are we doing in Afghanistan? I still don't know why are we in Afghanistan. I'm asking it every day. Obama came to power as an anti-war candidate. So you figured, all right, the first thing he would do is take our troops out of Afghanistan. But within a month, he sent 30,000 troops to Afghanistan. I said, wait a minute. This tells me everything I need to know about what's coming. It's going to be window dressing, but they're going to continue the policies that are being pushed by individuals. I don't even know who they are. Who's running this country, Jose?
Well, there's a lot of things running the country. The special interests, the military contractors that make tons of money off these big war deals. I mean, the war profiteering hasn't ended, Mike.
Beware the government military-industrial complex. Eisenhower warned us about that, Jose. Jose, let me send you a copy. My paperback is just out, Trickle-Down Tyranny. It really spells all of this out. Stay on the line. We'll send you a free copy. By the way, I want to make an announcement almost a year in advance so that you know it. I'll make the announcement without any more drama to it than that. It's 8 months from now. The elections, as you know, that are coming up next November, will determine the future course of America. The elections will determine whether we get the Senate in the hands of, let us say, even more rational centrists than these out-of-control left-wing fanatics who are running America off the rails, right? So if we can get the Senate in the hands of a few centrists, get rid of these Democrats, and many of them are bailing out because they know they can't win, we can possibly lobby those individuals in the Republican Party, should they win, to save this country. And I am going to try to do that, not only with this daily radio show, as long as God gives me the strength to do it. I have been working for 6 straight months now on a book that will not be out for months, but I have to tell you what it's called: Stopping the Coming Civil War. Stopping the Coming Civil War. Because as I see it, Obama is trying to drive us into a civil war in order to divide and conquer us. That's my theme. And he's got to be stopped. Now, you can laugh at me if you wish, but it's not a laughing matter, if you will. Why I say I'm trying to stop the coming civil war is because I see the increased polarization, the class warfare, the statement that there's one side of America that's pure evil when we are the ones who provide the taxes so that the takers can even get up in the morning and have a loaf of bread in their hands in the evening. He makes us the bad ones and the takers the good ones. He turns on our allies and supports our enemies. But my theme is specifically about domestic policy, stopping the coming civil war. Now, I want to give you one footnote on this. The publisher is not happy with the title. They think that I'm wrong. They don't think that Obama's trying to drive us into a civil war. I keep trying to tell them that he is. They say, well, explain it. Can you explain it to me? And I'm having to do this on a daily basis to the point where it's becoming difficult for me to explain it to you. I know what he's doing. By pitting one side in this country against the other, is that not a sort of civil war? What is a civil war? Does it have to be muskets? And teach them, why does it have to be muskets and shooting for it to be a civil war? He's created a civil war with his class warfare, with his harping on how evil those of us who make a living are, and his harping on how wonderful those who do nothing for society are. Is that not setting the seeds of a civil war? Are we not already, in fact, in the civil war, I argue, on a daily basis? Anyway, the book won't be out for 7 or 8 months. It's by Michael Savage. You can't buy it. There's no advance sale. It's called Stopping the Coming Civil War. Now we'll go back to your calls. Okay? WJR, Brenda... sorry, I'll slow down. WJR, Detroit. Brenda, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, have the Islamist fascist won? Yes, 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 yes. Every day, another transgression by this government. I'm 61 years old. I've been trying to fight the good fight. I'm tired. They're wearing me down. I feel like it's the end game. I feel like I don't...
Listen, Savagette Brenda. Why are they wearing you down? Why are you taking it personally?
Because it is a personal front. When you take my freedoms, I take that personally.
All right, that's true. It's good to make it personal. So why are you getting worn down? What is it that's wearing you down?
Because it's like every day it's another and one worse than the last.
Yes, every day he insults our intelligence and insults our sense of freedom. Every day he gets up like the petty dictator that he is and says, you know what, I'll enact executive orders. Ha, do something about it. The next day he says, I'll go over Congress if I want. Do something about it. This president is on the warpath. It's as though he's out of control. He came back from Hawaii almost crazy with power. He came back from Hawaii almost drunk on power. Do you understand that, Brenda?
But, Michael, sometimes I feel like I try to talk half the people in my family. It's like, well...
Okay, but that... Hold it. Now you're touching on why you feel frustrated, because you have nobody to share it with. You talk to people, and it's like talking to a wall. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. It's like me riding around in my car before or after a show, and I see a bumper sticker, Obama-Biden. My instinct is to roll the window down and curse the person out. And then I have to run through a series of thoughts in my head. One, it's a free country. Two, the lunatic liberal in that car has a right to her opinion just as I do. Three, I have a talk show. I express my opinion. That's my bumper sticker. So I don't say anything. But you have no obligation not to tell people what you think. Why should it wear you out?
Because they don't care, I guess.
Okay, see, now that's it. The indifference is the worst sort of crime for a citizen in a country, of any country at any time. Indifference is the greatest crime you can commit. You know, you give me a real liberal, and I can, if I could discuss things with that real liberal, I'll feel liberated, because I'll get somewhere. Do you know that most real liberals oppose Obama's spying? Do you know that even the ACLU is alarmed by his spying? That's why Obama's having to give a speech tomorrow to justify his spying? Are you aware of that, Brenda? He's in far more trouble than you may think.
Well, good. Good. But I'm not...
Brenda, let me send you Trickle Down Tyranny. You probably don't have the book. You may be a new listener to the show. I'll send you the book, put it on your coffee table, and discuss it, and see what happens. Maybe some of the people who come in your house will open up their eyes. Thank you for calling from JR out of Detroit. What time is it already? It's 44 minutes after the hour. You know, I was going to go on the air with a comedic statement in the political arena again with... I hope some of you didn't dig... But yesterday's show was death and dying, right? I was going to come on the air and I say, I hope many of you didn't die last night. I hope you're still with me, because I don't want to lose my cue. But I thought that wouldn't be too good a joke. But we did talk about death and dying. I started it thinking it would last one segment. It ran for 3 straight hours. 3 straight hours. The people did not stop calling on this. It was astounding. Now, whether it was a reaction to the frustration that you feel with the political system, which is almost like a runaway train that you can't control, or that you just want to turn backwards onto the fundamental questions that humans have faced from the beginning of time. I don't know what it was, but it was quite a topic, incidentally. So let's take one quick call on death and dying. Pat on WMAL, go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, Mike. The whole purpose of reincarnation is to provide an opportunity for soul growth. If we reincarnate, we don't reincarnate immediately. There's a period of rest and review, and our soul takes this opportunity to review the life we just did, to decide which aspect of soul growth we want to work on, and the soul chooses the next life that gives the greatest opportunity for those choices to appear. For
that is a beautiful philosophy. Is that part of a religion or a theosophy? Where do you come from?
No, I'm an Episcopalian, but I believe...
But wait, no, this is interesting. So in the Episcopalian church, that is a belief, or is that your own belief?
No, oh no. No, it's not. I just happen to believe it.
Because the Episcopalian church has become super left-wing today, and I don't know they believe in judgment at all. They're afraid of judgmentalism. That's why you have the type of preachers that you have there. Because if you had any judgment, you wouldn't have them as preachers in your church. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that. The whole liberal brainwashing for 30 years was, don't be judgmental. Don't be so judgmental. Meanwhile, they were judging you by telling you not to be judgmental. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And secondly, here's another point about judgmentalism. The essence of living as a successful, surviving human is to be judgmental. You have to judge whether to cross a street or not cross a street. You have to judge whether to go fast or slow. You have to judge whether to eat or not to eat, sleep or not sleep. You have to judge whether to do this or do that. It's all about judgment. So what do you mean don't be judgmental? What are they talking about? What they meant was don't judge me in my sickness. Don't judge me in my deviance. Don't judge me in my anti-Americanism. That's what they really meant. And for 30 years, they brainwashed a whole generation of people who think that it's illiberal to judge them in their behaviors or their opinions.
We have to be discerning in who we choose to be with and what we choose to support.
Right. We also have to be discerning in people who claim to be liberals but are anything but. Don't you think, Pat? I'll take a real liberal. Thanks for the Episcopalian view of the judgment and the waiting station where we're deciding where to go. That's a very beautiful view, and I think people have different ideas about what happens after they die. And the truth is, you could also argue that the globe, the world that we live in, may actually be that waiting station. Maybe this earth that we live on is actually the place we've come to from our last lives in order to judge where we should go in our next lives. Did you ever think about that one? Maybe I should create a religion and get out of politics. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
You're live. It's the Savage Nation, and the music wasn't there, but I'm here. It's the program you've all been hearing about, and I say to you, give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. I got to say this. I've been on the radio over 19 years. It'll be 20 years this March, and right now I'm on some new stations. For example, I am on WJR in Detroit. We're getting swamped with calls out of the Michigan market because it's a gigantic signal, one of the biggest and most powerful signals in the country. And you ask yourself, why are people calling so regularly and so forcefully from WJR out of Detroit? And you ask yourself why, and you get the answer. If anyone in the world would know what liberalism can do to a city, just take a look at Detroit. They know what liberalism is. They know what liberalism does. They know the devastation that is invoked upon a city when liberals take over. And that mentality is now running America. That mentality is now running the West itself. Here's a related article to the bigger picture. This you're not going to believe. I put it on michaelsavage.com. The United Nations climate chief had the nerve to say that communism is the best to fight global warming. United Nations climate chief Cristiana Figueres said that democracy is a poor political system for fighting global warming, but communist China is the best model. Now, although China is the world's top emitter of carbon dioxide and struggling with major pollution problems, the country, quote, is doing it right when it comes to fighting global warming, says the clueless communist United Nations climate chief. So what more do you need to know than what I've been telling you for years, that this whole climate business is really about centralized government, state control of everything under the guise of green. And as I said to you, in Australia, they call the Greens watermelons. They're green on the outside and red on the inside. Make no mistake about it. Mankind's effects upon the climate are minuscule. yet the effects of these leftists will be anything but.
Seven. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'm going to be spending more and more of my time focusing on education, because as everyone here knows, education is the key to success for so many kids. And my goal specifically is to reach out directly to young people and encourage them to take charge of their futures and complete an education beyond high school.
Just what we need is more people not qualified to go to college, to be forced upon the college system. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So the co-presidency continues to ratchet up the dominance over the people and the dominance over the world with their vision, their failed vision, by the way, their flawed vision, by the way. And I want to go for a moment to show you where this is going to lead. I received an interesting book over the weekend entitled Chavez's Legacy, The Transformation from Democracy to a Mafia State by Ari Chaplin. I didn't ask for the book, but it's extremely well written. And there's a few paragraphs that struck me, and here it is. The strong opposition that emerged in Venezuela could not destroy Chavez's mafia state. Chavez was able to establish nearly total control of the mass media and the judicial branch, which functioned to prosecute and terrorize those people that were viewed by the mafia as enemies. And I underline that paragraph because it disturbed me so deeply. The strong opposition that emerged in Venezuela could not destroy Chavez's mafia state, he writes. Chavez was able to establish nearly total control of the mass media. Let's pause right there. We know the New York Times is a complete and wholly owned subsidiary of David Floof's White House. We know that everything Obama does will be painted in a rosy light, as today's headline is Obama's path from critic to defender of spying. And they show that he's actually doing it because he's emerged as an adult now from the time he was just a senator, and he's doing it to protect us from ourselves. That ties right in. Chavez's mafia state, total control of the mass media. And then we learn that Chavez controlled the judicial branch, which functioned to prosecute and terrorize those people that were viewed by the mafia as enemies. Well, using the IRS to prosecute conservative groups would fit into that rather neatly. Using a prosecutor to go after Chris Christie for a rather minor problem, when so many major scandals surround this presidency, would fit the model of using the judicial branch as a tool to prosecute and terrorize those people who are viewed by the mafia as enemies, wouldn't it? Well, he goes on. In countries with democratic traditions such as Venezuela, the mafia came to power lacking a historical project and a clear ideology and are condemned to survive as long as the leader is in power. While after the death of Stalin, bureaucratic socialism appeared in the Soviet orbit, there does not exist the possibility for the emergence of a bureaucratic Chavism. Now listen to this. On the contrary, the death of the Caudillo brought into the existence mafia, sects whose main objective is not to administer Chavez's legacy, but rather to distribute the country's loot, nothing more. And those sentences resonated with me, because these fake green programs are nothing more than stealing the country's loot, and that's only the beginning. The one sector of our economy that is booming, by the way, is the one sector that did it without the interference of the government. They went around the government, and that's through horizontal drilling or fracking. It is so successful that this nation will in a few years be exporting oil again. It is so successful because the government couldn't stop it. It is so successful because, try as he might, the dictator-in-chief could not stop the fracking. and it's booming. The states in which the fracking is occurring are enjoying a tremendous renaissance, and soon they will be an oil exporting states, and America may be an oil exporting nation. The economy is booming in those sectors precisely because this leftist in power could not stop them. And that brings us back to why he's stopping the Keystone XL pipeline. Allegedly, it's for the environment, but that's a lie. It's a cover-up. It's simply to make certain that the nation can be looted by those who transport oil on railway cars at much higher prices. I've explained this to you in great detail. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's been blocked since this leftist fraud took power. It's been blocked despite the fact that the oil is now going to be shipped from Alberta, from the tar sands of Alberta, to Vancouver and sent to China. That's what your president is about to do to you. He's going to take oil that should be going here to lower our heating costs, our driving costs, our energy costs in general, and he's going to permit the Canadians to sell it to China. Why? Not because he cares about the environment. He flies at Air Force One and he cares about the environment. He sends a dog and an Osprey helicopter to Martha's Vineyard because he cares about the environment. He has 500 cars and an entourage wherever he goes because he cares about the environment. Yeah, do as I do, not as I say. I get it. But the fact of the matter is, no, it has nothing to do with the environment. The Keystone XL pipeline has been blocked by this administration for one reason only, in my estimation, and that's to make certain that the highest price possible is paid to send the oil from Alberta down to our refineries by railway car. You put two and two together. And that brings us back to question number one of the Savage Nation from last hour. Do you think the Islamofascists have won? We now live in a state of fear, of government spying, of overwhelming government power in the name of security. Have they won? Or do you feel safer under Obama's spying state? Now, you have to understand how serious this issue is. He's giving a speech tomorrow to justify his spying. He is being so assailed by his leftist base, who are oh so concerned about civil rights and the First Amendment, that they're suddenly screaming that he better rein in the NSA because they're out of control. So he's going to give a big speech tomorrow, and he's going to try and justify the robust surveillance and tell us that it's only against those who would harm us. I would ask only one simple question if they're using spying only against those who would harm us. How did they get away with the Boston Marathon bombing? They knew who the Tsarnaev brothers were. They've been watching them for 2 or 3 years. And yet they were able to plant the bombs and detonate the bombs at the Boston bombing. How's that possible? If the NSA is so effective and so important to protect us from people like that, why were they able to get away with the Boston Marathon bombing? It's a commonsensical question. Anyone would ask that. Say, yeah, it makes sense. How come? The answer is because, well, okay, let's see. They wanted them to bomb? No. They weren't going to stop them because they were Muslims? Possibly. They were intimidated to stop them because they were Muslims, because they were afraid of the new affirmative action training being imposed upon them by the Obama administration under the advice of the CAIR group? Possibly. See, there's a lot of possibilities here. None of them are good. So I support the ACLU. I support the leftists in this case. I think you need to make this man understand that he's endangering all of us. Now I'll take your calls. Kyle on WMAL, what do you think? You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you just said. It's almost like prophecy. But the thing about it is, like, I live out here in Washington, D.C., and I deal with these people on a regular basis. And what the American citizen, the average one anyway, they have no idea what's really going on. I mean, there is no such thing as freedom in this world anymore. All there is just different privileges for different classes.
Well, in a sense, you're right. I mean, for many years, I've noticed that freedom in America means selecting a green shirt or a blue shirt, dyeing your hair green or yellow, putting a nose ring in or an earring, whether you want to smoke marijuana or smoke crack cocaine. Those are the freedoms that we get. Whether you want to act in one way or another, those are the freedoms that we get. What color car we can buy, what color refrigerator we can buy, what color pants we can buy, what kind of color we can dye our hair. Those are the freedoms that the people seem to think that they have.
Absolutely. And the thing about that is American citizens, not even just I was just in Africa a couple months ago, and it's not even just the American population, it's the entire world. We live in Plato's Cave, and 99% of the people are down there, and the 1% are the ones that are the ones with the agenda.
Oh, so you read Plato. You know about the shadows on the wall.
Oh, absolutely.
We're you're one of the few listeners who even understood the metaphor of Plato writing that the average person doesn't even know what's going on. All I do is see the shadows on the wall. When did you read Plato? I read Plato in high school, believe it or not. I went to a public high school in Jamaica, New York, and I was forced to read Plato's Republic in high school. Would you believe it?
Oh, wow. That's pretty amazing. They have pretty good public education up there.
They had a great public education before it was decimated by affirmative action.
Absolutely. Mike, I agree with you completely. Yeah, I had the privilege of going to a private school, but I actually took that class and learned the same thing. I think it was in ninth grade. It was in one of my philosophies.
I had to read Plato, of course, not in Greek. The only thing I could say in Greek was, give me the souvlaki, but I never learned Plato in Greek. But, you know, the Greek philosophers knew it all. They taught us the structure of Western civilization is built upon the philosophy of Aristotle, Plato, and the others, as you well know. Are they still taught, or are they considered ancient white males who didn't know anything?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, the answer to that question, I don't want to get too in depth with that just because of the average listener. But, I mean, what's going on was really just right now with everything that we see, you know, there is an agenda, obviously, at play with the American society, and, you know, we're obviously slaves of the market. But
Uh-oh, there goes the NSA calling you. You better get the call, Kyle.
No, they
They're on to you, Kyle. Watch out. You live so close to them. You're calling from MAL. They may be surveying the phone call.
Now,
thanks for the call. Yeah, it probably was. Who knows? 855-407-282 is the Savage Nation. UN Climate Chief says communism is the best way to fight warming. Chris Christie's team is accused of a mafia-esque rule over New Jersey. Notice that he was the only potential challenger to the Clinton machine and what they're doing to him. Do you understand the mafia-like state that we're living in? Anyone, even a moderate Republican who stands up and has a chance to take the country back from the radical socialist left, even the most moderate, even someone who cooperated with them, they will rip to shreds. Because absolute power knows one thing and one thing only. And never forget Lord Acton. Lord Acton's writings. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. You're living it, boys and girls. And I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about this and that. There's another story that's just come up. Justice Department to prohibit agents from considering religion in counter-terror investigations. I saw it on Jihad Watch. I posted it on michaelsavage.com. Eric Holder said that Muslims are not involved in terrorism. He says the idea that Muslims are involved in terrorism is racist. He says that using counter-terror surveillance against Muslims would be racist and fascist. January 15th, New York Times, U.S. to expand rules limiting use of profiling by federal agents. The Justice Department will significantly expand its definition of racial profiling to prohibit federal agents from considering religion, national origin, gender, and sexual orientation in their investigations, a so-called government official said Wednesday. This is a result of so-called civil rights groups arguing that federal authorities have singled out Muslims in counterterrorism investigations. Now, this is pretty interesting. This is really very interesting. So in the name of national security, they can no longer use religion as an opportunity to investigate a potential terrorist? As far as I'm concerned, there's only one religion that uses terror to propagate itself. And that is pretty clear, limited to only one religion. How in the world can this be so? How is this possible? How in the world can this go on in this country? It's upside down. The man has fundamentally ended the war on terrorism by surrendering to the Islamofascists, all in the name of liberalism. We're committing suicide in slow motion here. Someone wrote this. Holder says we need to play a game of denial and conclude that a 65-year-old Italian Catholic grandmother in Revere, Massachusetts, is just as likely to blow up the marathon as some punk from Turkmenistan. Another stroke of genius from this administration. How long must we put up with this insanity, he writes. Yeah, well, I think much longer. There is certainly profiling going on, Mr. Holder. Your laws are only enforced if the perps are white, heterosexual, Republican, male Christians. So there is certainly profiling going on, Mr. Holder. This is unbelievable to me. So just before a bomb explodes and the cop hears the words Allahu Akbar, if the cop jumps in to stop the bomb, will he be arrested for a racial profiling? Are you people insane? Do you know how insane this is? This is not political correctness. This is political insanity. All of the Western ideals and civilizations that have supported the world for so many centuries, all of the progress that has been made in so many spheres of our lives is going up in smoke under this regime. Oh, we know that racial profiling is wrong, and we know it can leave a lasting scar on communities. Right. But terrorism by Muslims doesn't leave a scar on communities? You mean the bombs that were planted by the Muslims from Turkmenistan, the Sarnoff brothers, did not leave a scar on Boston? This is nothing but a whitewash of Islam. And it's getting more and more dangerous under the Obama administration. And that brings you back to the first question today. Are you ready for it? Because I'll repeat it. Do you think the Islamo-fascists have won? I mean, after all, we now live in a state of fear, government spying, overwhelming government power in the name of security. The big story today came out that the NSA is collecting millions of text messages daily in an untargeted global sweep. It doesn't matter whether you're on a watch list or not, they're collecting your text messages. Can you believe this? Now, I don't recall the Italian communities crying Italophobia when mafiosi are sought, mostly inside Italian communities. Do you hear the Italians marching and crying and screaming that Italophobia is behind the FBI going after Italians? This is insanity. This is beyond comprehension. How in the world can the White House get away with this? Well, here we are. Here is the truth. This is the truth as we see. And that's why I'm doing the book called Stopping the Coming Civil War, because that's where we're going. Marie and WMAL, go ahead, please.
Hi.
Marie.
I think that
yes.
The title is very fit for the book, and I truly believe that there might not be no stopping it, because the people of this country are foolish enough to believe that this administration is doing good, but in reality, they're taking
47% of Americans do not pay any taxes. You know that for them, they could care less about Obama's surveying people, Obama's catering to the enemies while attacking our allies, and spying on innocent people. It doesn't mean anything to those on the government cheese.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is one of the most common questions I get back home in Texas, is people wonder, why can't you stop this? I say, well, the Congress passes the laws, but the executive branch is the one that's supposed to enforce the laws. But what do you do when you have a overly politicized executive branch, including Eric Holder, who refused to hold the president accountable, refused to enforce the law, and you get what we have now, which is essentially a lawlessness in the administration that is very troubling, to say the least.
Well, you see, so when you say both parties are the same, you're wrong. That's Mr. Cornyn, C-O-R-N-Y-N, saying that the pattern of Obama bypassing Congress with executive orders is troubling. We need more than that. We need an impeachment hearing, because this will stop him in his tracks. Now, Eric Holder, what he did today is more shocking than what Obama's done. He's now saying agents are prohibited from considering religion in counterterror investigations. On the face of it, it's insane. It's insane because we know where most of the terrorism comes from. Now, while it is true that most Muslims are not terrorists, it's also true that almost all terrorists are Muslim. Who said that? I didn't. A Muslim preacher said that 10 years ago. I didn't say it. I'm quoting a Muslim preacher. This is insanity. Let's show you why that's insanity. I'll read you some names. Are you ready for them? And here they are, just so you know that this is totally insane. I have to find it, though. And here they are. Osama bin Laden, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, Abu Laith al-Libi, Mustafa Abu al-Yazid, Ramzi bin al-Shiba, Mustafa al-Hawasawi, Batula Mersoud, Abu Ayyub al-Masri, Hamid Wood Mohammed Khalil al-Zawi, Abdul Rahman Yassin, Ahmad Abu Sma, Abdullah Ahmad Abdullah, Ahmad Ibrahim al-Mugassil, Ramadan Abdullah Muhammad Shala, Abu Nidal, Ayman al-Zawahiri. So someone wrote, if only there was a connection between all of these terrorists, well, we might be able to do something about it. But unfortunately, Eric Holder's Justice Department cannot find any similarities at all. All of these attacks are totally random. There's nothing we can do to stop them in the future. And someone wrote this, and I don't know whether you agree with it. If Adolf Hitler was that clever, he would have been successful. Simply say your ideology is a religion, and then complain that anyone who challenges that is a bigot and making you out to be an innocent victim. It is working very nicely throughout the world, and it has all civil cultures scrambling to appear their friends and protection from such bigots. May God help us against this ideology of submission. Our elected officials should be charged with treason. That's someone wrote that. I don't know if you agree with it. It's another example of where America is being pulled by this radical administration that's out of control. They're doing things without any cooperation from their own party whatsoever. WFTL, Estelle, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I am such an ardent fan of yours, and I'm so glad to have this opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you. I appreciate such kindness. What's on your mind?
You left out the name of one more terrorist.
No, please, let's not. I know, you could throw one in. We're not going to do it.
I did it already. I hope that somebody heard me. Dr. Savage, first of all, may I go back to yesterday for a moment?
If you don't mind, if you want to, I don't care.
Yeah, I want to go back to yesterday's program. I enjoyed that so much. You were talking about the old South Florida women.
Oh, you mean that Debbie Wasserwoman Schultz appeals to? She comes to your community, Debbie Wasserwoman Schultz, and she tells you she wants sanctions against Iran, and then she flies up to Washington and tells Obama she supports him in stopping sanctions against Iran. You talk about a double talker and a forked tongue.
But I want to tell you that there are some old South Florida women who call her Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And
tell the people what the word schmutz means.
The schmutz is what she is, the dirt.
Oh, God. I take it that you say that because you're a member of the same, let us say, ethnic group, so you feel you can say it without being called a racist. Is that it?
Right. Well, maybe I want to be a racist. Maybe I want to be against some of my own who are supporting this terrorist that's ruining our country. I want to be a racist. I want people to rise up and to say it's enough already. And when you talk about the book to stop the coming revolution, maybe we need the revolution. Why? Maybe we don't want to stop it.
Estelle, let me say this. I believe we should stop the coming civil war. If you look at Syria, you see the result of a civil war. It is never good. Nobody wins. Millions of people die. The country is left in smoking ruins. We cannot let Obama and Holder and the leftist cabal, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, drag us to that sad state. I am trying to sound a clarion alarm to stop the coming civil war, not to start one. Estelle, I want to be very clear about that.
Dr. Savage, I am trying to start an alarm that we need something that, not civil. I'll take back the word civil.
Oh, boy.
The word, okay.
So, Estelle, you must be some firecracker down there. I don't want to run into you in a supermarket when you're in a bad mood.
I don't go into supermarkets. I'm 85 years old, and if I don't say it now...
You're only 85. You're 85 years young. So who does your shopping for you?
I do, but I do it with remote control.
What do you mean? You order it online and they deliver?
I don't want to talk about shopping. I want to talk about getting rid of the mess that we're in now.
Okay, I hear you. Are you an ex-professional lady of some kind?
No, I'm a mother of three sons and five daughters-in-law.
And so you're afraid that the country that you love so much is being hijacked by this group of illegitimi, is that it?
It's a nightmare. It really is a nightmare. I'm the one who would be first on the death pallor that this thing that he would be creating for old people not to get help. fortunately, I'm still strong.
So you're afraid of Frankenstein care, is that it?
And what can I tell you? But seriously, as I tell you, I listen to you every day. But when I heard you talking about Debbie Schmutz, I said to myself, I must tell you that there are lots of old South.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to call her Debbie Schmutz. I gave her a more polite rendition. I called her Debbie Wasserwoman Schultz. Because, I mean, she's definitely like a water carrier for Obama. That's why I called her Water Woman.
A water carrier.
Wasserwoman, a water carrier woman.
I don't want to use another Jewish word to describe her, but at any
rate. Oh, stop it. I gotta say to you, Estelle, I love your calling. Thank you very much. I hope the NSA got all of that. And they go out and they talk to us, to Estelle in Boca Raton. After all, she's an 85-year-old woman, and she could be a threat to national security. She despises Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She despises the president. She despises Eric Holder. She loves America. I mean, this woman should be put on a watch list. There's no question. There's no question about it. She meets all the qualifications. She loves America. She's over 85. She's of European ancestry, and she's not a Muslim. Who else could it possibly be who's going to commit the next terrorist act? Okay, WABC Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I'm scared to death that you want to know if we think we've lost the war here. I'm afraid he's going to sign a pen with his pen there that take people like you off the air. Then it's over.
No, it isn't, so I'll go to the Internet. You can still buy my books. Now, it could be that Eric Holder will ask everyone in America to turn in every book written by Michael Savage so they could have a bonfire in Washington, D.C., and then they would call it for safety and freedom, that they're not really conducting a book burning. What they're doing is burning the books in order to stop hatred and to warm the environment without causing any global warming. Look, you got to laugh at them. At the end of the day, you know who they are? They're two men. They're extremely out of control men. My feeling is one day they're going to be arrested for their crimes against this country. I believe that they have so overreached in their power. I believe that there could be not only an impeachment hearing. I believe they're pissing off so many members of their own party that there could be a call for their arrest for what they're doing. How do you like that? You know, if I lived through a time that Nixon's attorney general was impeached, does anyone remember that? Why is this attorney general not being called on the carpet for what he's doing to our civil liberties? Where is the opposition party? The answer is they don't exist, by and large. There's a scattering here and there. All right, it's enough politics for the moment. The GOP is not opposing anything. There's a few of them that are, like Mr. Cornyn and a few others. By and large, though, a party of so many men with such silence is shocking, by the way. 855-400-7282. Let's take another caller. Let's go to another city. Ryan on WMAL in the heart of the monster, Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm not going to give you my whole bio, but I do have five children. And as I sit here and look at my youngest play outside, I do share a great deal of concern for their future, well as mine. But I'd like to know, why are our representatives not screaming from the rafters, marching up to the White House and saying, "You're not going to do this"? Where is our representation? Where is it?
Well, it's complicated. For one, the Republican Party died during the last 5 years. That's number one. They gave up. They gave up on the war against communism, liberalism, fascism, socialism, whatever you want to call it. Number two, the press is 99 to 100% in the pocket of the White House. Do you know how many former reporters have applied for and gotten jobs in the White House? Legions of them have left the media to go to work for the government. So that's number two. There's no longer a press, a sort of fourth estate keeping them in line. They've gone from being watchdogs to being lapdogs. So without a press, without an opposition party, what you have in essence is a rogue government against the people. That's what you have, is a rogue government, government anarchy against the people. What you're facing now is actually government anarchy. It's an anarchistic branch of government that's out of control, working around the clock to suppress the people. That's called government anarchy. I don't know what else to say about it. I am not a revolutionary. I'm a talk show host. I am not a politician. Unlike others, I'm not going to be on the steps of any building with a bullhorn. I'm not going to lead any parades, no marches, no parties. I am sort of the architect of America's future freedoms. That's how I see it. I'm one of the architects. No more. You have to build a house, not me. You build a house. You use my architectural plans and Trickle-Down Tyranny, one of my many other 28 books that I've written. You do what you have to do, not me. I'm merely an architect. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
My ex-wife said she was going to harm the kids and that I should get over there ASAP. She sent me an email that that she did the best thing for our family, and then she sent her cousin a text that she was going to kill the kids and herself. Well, I remember she had her dad's old rifles.
This is a nightmarish story that's unfortunately becoming too common in America. Welcome back to the program. The other day, mom kills her two kids, then herself, and the kids were gifted children. Never mind if they weren't or they were. These were gifted children. Extremely gifted. The father divorced them. The mother had lived in a nice house provided by the father. Then he cut them off financially. This whack job mother, Berman, goes nuts, takes out an old rifle, Jennifer Berman, and allegedly shoots her teenage children, Jackie and Alexander, before killing herself. But before she shot her teenage children and turned the weapon on herself, the father called and said, watch out, you know, she's liable to do something like this. Richard Berman rushes to the home and finds his kids, Alexander, 16, and Jackie, 15, shot by their mother. Shot by their mother, and then she shot herself. The woman sent messages to him and others about the impending crime. She sent an email saying that she did the best thing for our family. Then she sends her cousin a text that she was going to kill the kids and herself. And the couple had divorced a month before. The family had been fighting over money. And the home that Berman lived in with the children had recently been sold. So the woman who had been living a life of luxury under the husband, they split. She's now working long hours as a nurse, I think. And she became unhinged under the pressure. But that doesn't explain killing your children. And that leads me to the question is, what will explain these people going nuts and killing their children and themselves? I mean, other people have lost everything and they didn't go and kill their children. In my time, people lost everything. They didn't kill their children. They moved to a cheaper place. They worked two jobs. They went on welfare, whatever they had to do. They didn't kill their children. There's only one explanation. SSRIs. Thank your doctors. Thank you, psychiatrists. Thank the medico drug, the medico pharmaceutical complex. Thank the use of SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. That is what is responsible for this murder, in my estimation. Now, you won't read that. It will not be reported because a person's medical history is confidential except to the government. But you and I both know that the mother was probably on antidepressants. You and I both know that she probably went to her shrink, and what's he going to do for her? Your husband dumped you for a younger woman and took the house away. What can the doctor do but give her some pills? So she took the pills, the feel-good pills, and then when the serotonin ran out, because there was no longer any serotonin to reuptake, she went into a black hole, a black depression, and became suicidal and killed herself and the children. There have been too many heroic deaths, jumping off bridges, killing others under these SSRIs, which are more dangerous than guns. They're more dangerous than lead bullets. They're more dangerous than anything else in our society. Beware the medical pharmaceutical complex. It's killing us. That's my estimate. That's my opinion. That's one man's opinion. 855-700. I don't want you to call on it. What can you talk about that? What can you say? Look what a friend says about it. When you're going through a divorce and having to sell the beautiful house in this neighborhood, and it's just like she seems she had been upset lately. So therefore, take out a hunting rifle and shoot your children. Alex was an accomplished cello player, while Jackie, the other child, was a straight-A student. You hear this? You hear what's going on in your country under this drugging of our society? Well, that's one man's opinion. It's the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America.
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Escape the talking points and join me, Michael Savage, inside the Savage Nation right here on the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We, too, are deeply concerned about the rise of extremism. The world needs no reminder that Syria has become the magnet for jihadists and extremists. It is the strongest magnet.
Let's stop right there. Some would say America has become a magnet for jihadists and extremists, and they're not on the streets or hiding in the underground. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So apparently Kerry is not satisfied with playing nice with Iran and giving Israelis the jitters. He now wants to go to war with Syria. He has to meddle now with Syria and go to war with Syria and perhaps trigger a war with Russia. You know, what else? I mean, a man has to be busy. They used to say that some firemen would set fires in order to make sure that the budgets for firemen and firehouses continue. Well, I'm sure that doesn't happen anymore. But you could argue that some government officials like war and disturbances in order to justify their existence. I wouldn't say that, but you could say that. It gets worse by the day. Then Feinstein comes out, and weirdly, in her late 70s now, showing signs of, I don't know, early dementia, she attacks Israel and makes the absurd statement that we cannot let Israel determine when and where the United States goes to war. This is in response to a group of senators, a very large group, by the way, who wants to impose legislation that will impose sanctions on Iran to stop them in their desire to get a nuclear weapon. Listen to clip one, Dianne Feinstein.
And let me acknowledge Israel's real, well-founded concerns that a nuclear-armed Iran would threaten its very existence. I don't disagree with that. I agree with it. But we're not there yet. While I recognize and share Israel's concern, we cannot let Israel determine when, where the United States goes to war.
This is absurd. This is totally crackpot. This is crazy. It's as though the woman's brain has been fracked. I don't understand what she's saying here. Listen to what she's saying. Instead of attacking Iran for cheating on their nuclear ambitions, instead of saying to Iran, look, we know that you're cheating and hiding, and we're not going to let you wipe Israel off the map, instead, Feinstein now joins the Obama chorus and attacks Israel. This defies logic, and there has to be something in it financially. Whenever Feinstein speaks, I ask myself, follow the money. Where is the money in this? There has to be some financial angle here for her to be finagling against Israel. It means that the money that AIPAC used to give her does not equal the money that someone else is giving her. I know that's harsh. I know that many of you say, are you crazy? She wouldn't do a thing like that. This is an honest woman who works for the American people. She's the most powerful woman in the country. She chairs the Senate Intelligence Committee. Then how do you explain her attacking Israel out of the blue? How do you explain Obama spying on everyone in this country, even knowing what you buy with your credit card, when you're not a potential terrorist, while giving the Islamo-fascists a pass? How do you explain any of this? Well, I guess we have to go to fiction in order to understand fact. Years ago, there was a 1963 Cold War spy novel by British author Jean Le Carré entitled The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. So let's play a soundbite from that movie version right now on The Savage Nation.
I want you to stay out in the cold a little longer.
Please do sit down. Our work, as I understand it, is based on a single assumption that the West is never going to be the aggressor.
We do disagreeable things, but we're defensive. Our policies are peaceful, but our methods can't afford to be less ruthless than those of the opposition.
Now, I would expect Obama may use this speech tomorrow. I'm playing this tonight because my suspicion is, call me a prophet or call me what you will, just get the name right, it's Savage on your local station. Obama would use the same rationale that this fiction writer, Jean Le Carré, used, saying that we are all defensive and we're only spying on you because we would never do anything to harm you. We're doing it only to stop a greater crime. And so that's why they're spying on everything that you do. I would say that if you targeted your spying on those who might potentially do us harm, it would be wiser. I would say that if you wisely selected those individuals who have known to belong to certain religions and political orientations that do harm to the world on a regular basis, it would be better a better expenditure of your time and your money. But no, instead the opposite is being conducted by Holder and Obama. The Justice Department is now going to prohibit agents from considering religion in any counterterror investigations. Let's go to Andrew on KSFO. Andrew, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Andrew, you're up.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I believe you are absolutely right. We have lost the war on terrorism. When nation states engage in an armed conflict with their militaries against each other, part of the goal is to destroy the other nation's war-fighting capabilities, destroy their economy, bust out their infrastructure, change their demographics, change their way of life. I put to you that our government is accomplishing those means as if they were working for the other side. If you look at the judiciary...
Well, either Eric Holder is a fool or he hates America. Something is wrong. For him to say that the religion of Islam is not a centerpiece of most of the world's terrorists, what in the world do you have to know in order to look at the names of those who have been behind the terror?
Well, just look at these acts of legislation. They're putting laws forward that Fortune 500 companies with armies of lawyers can't make heads or tails of, i.e. Obamacare, i.e. the immigration thing. You look at our highest and most clear and concise laws in this nation. There are only two sentences long, a well-regulated...
I understand. So you're saying they're doing it to obfuscate their takeover of every avenue of government? Is that what you're arguing, Andrew?
All
right, well, let me read you some names before I take a break. Obama says you can't use religion if you're an agent in the FBI in any of your counterterror investigations. Well, I would ask them a question, and here is the question. I'll read you a few names. Osama bin Laden, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, Abu Laif al-Libi, Abu Ayyab al-Masri, Hamid Dawad Muhammad Khalil al-Zawi, Abdul Rahman Yassin Ahmad Abu Smara, Abdullah Ahmed Abdullah Ahmad Ibrahim al-Mughasil, Ramadan Abdullah Muhammad Shalah, Abu Nidal, Ayman al-Zawahiri. We all know there's no connection in any of these names to a religion. Because if there was a connection, we might be able to stop the next terrorist attack. But as you now have learned, the Justice Department cannot find any connection between any of these names and a particular orientation with regard to religion. All of the attacks against the West were committed randomly. There's nothing we can do to stop them. Yes, welcome to Brobingdang, where everything is upside down. It's the world upside down, according to Barack Obama and Eric Holder. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. And what I'm trying to do is give you America, not Obama's view of what America should be. It's funny that today's New York Times has a lead story to sort of soften the fact that he's become overtly what he's become to all of us from the day he began. And the headline in the Times is Obama's Path from Critic to Defender of Spying. This is very interesting. It just shows you that there was a genius in 1998 who gave a speech that you didn't listen to. 1998, there was a genius in America who gave a speech before the Commonwealth Club that was entitled Beware the Government Media Complex. His name, Michael Savage. Ignored by all, banned in Britain because of his views, spit upon by fake conservatives in the media. No one came to his aid. He was left on a hilltop alone with his GPS trying to give out his position to be rescued, and no one came to rescue him. But he escaped from that hilltop, and now he's on a new hilltop on the Savage Nation, broadcasting to over 200 stations, including, by the way, the best stations in America. And I'm trying to warn you once again the danger we are in under this fraudulent liberal. He used liberalism to introduce something quite the contrary. And we're going to talk about that. The headline on the Drudge Report ties in with what Obama's doing to you. NSA collects millions of text messages daily in untargeted global sweep. The National Security Agency has collected almost 200 million text messages a day, using them to extract data collection, including location, contact networks, and credit card details, according to top secret documents. Your government is now totally out of control. It's a runaway train, and it's under Obama. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think the Islamofascists have won? I have to bring you back to 9/11. After 9/11, the Patriot Act was passed, and it was a rather benign act used to stop the Islamofascists overseas from coming here and hitting us. Under Obama, he took that power and turned it on all of us. And I believe we now live in a state of fear, government spying, overwhelming government power in the name of security. Have the Islamofascists won, in fact? Or do you feel safer under Obama's police state? Many of you probably feel much safer under Obama's police state. You would support Obama if they dragged 1,000 people off the street every day and say, well, it's for the good of the nation. They were disturbing the social order. And we need calm. We need to be able to watch our porn and our football and smoke our dope. I mean, we need our dope, our football, and our porn. We don't need those rabble-rousers telling us about a darn police state. I don't have anything to hide. What am I afraid of? Obama's path from critic to defender of spying. Views shaped by plot warning. Speech tomorrow, Friday. And we're told that every day there are people plotting to hurt us. And that big brother, Obama, is protecting us around the clock. In between golf vacations and trips to surf in Hawaii, he's really watching the computers which tell him who the evil ones are, who are plotting to get us. Don't worry, he is really in charge. And so his longtime advisor, spokesmouth, David Floof, says this. There are people out there every day who are plotting. The notion that we would put down a tool that would protect people here in America is hard to fathom. Mr. Floof, can you tell us how this tool helped you stop the Boston Marathon bombing and why you didn't intervene when you knew the Sarnoff brothers were planning to bomb the Boston run? Why is it that you use this tool on innocent people, but you look the other way when you actually find guilty people, is what most Americans would like to ask in front of a court of law called a Senate hearing or a congressional hearing. It's time for a congressional hearing on Obama's spying. We need an independent counsel to prosecute who's ever behind this. And I don't understand where the Republicans are in this. This could put them center stage, not only for the American people and for freedom itself, but for their own party's sake. We demand that they produce such a hearing. Why is there no hearing on any of these things? It's like a single party, a single government, a Democrat, Republican government, an oligarchy. There's no differential between the two in almost every case, except in window dressing lately. And there used to be a difference. There is no difference. It's window dressing. It's as though they're created by a computer, and both sides are created to look as though they oppose each other on certain issues. But in fact, it's being run by a few hands who actually create the computer programs, which are digitally enhanced to make them look like senators and congressmen who don't even exist. They may as well not exist. They may as well not exist. One of the Roman emperors got so angry at the Senate, he removed one of the senators and he put a horse in his chair. I think it was Caligula. Not that he was a doll. He put a horse in the seat of the senator. And he said that the horse has as much sense as he did, so I put a horse in there. Well, that was then. Now they don't need to put a horse in the chair of a senator. All they need to do is make believe the senator actually exists by creating a computerized image of a senator and putting the computerized image out there giving false speeches that don't exist. It's unbelievable to me. If you go back to the history of this earth, going back to space and time, going back to space and time, space, time, and beyond, going back to God himself, the Big Bang Theory, or the theory of divine creation by God, the beginnings of life, the age of fishes, the age of the coal swamps, the age of reptiles, the first birds, the first mammals, the age of mammals, monkeys, apes, and submen, the Neanderthals, or the Rhodesian man, the first true men. If I go back to the beginnings of cultivation, primitive Neolithic civilizations, if I go back to early Egypt and Sumeria, the primitive nomadic peoples, if I talk with you about the first seagoing peoples, Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, the primitive Aryans, the last Babylonian Empire and the Empire of Darius the First, if I speak with you of the early history of the Jews, of priests and prophets in Judea, of the Greeks, of the wars of the Greeks and Persians, of the splendor of Greece, of the Empire of Alexander the Great, of the museum and library at Alexandria, the growth of the Roman Empire between Rome and China, if I speak to you of the common man and his life under the early Roman Empire, if I speak with you of the early days of Jesus and the development of doctrinal Christianity, if I tell you of the barbarians and how they broke the empire into East and West, and then I speak with you about the Huns and the end of the Western Empire, if I then speak with you about the Byzantine and the other empires, and then bring you into the dynasties of Sui and Tang in China, and Muhammad and Islam, and then go to the great days of the Arabs, and then I speak with you of the development of Latin Christendom, and the Crusades and the age of papal domination, and I speak with you of the Mongol conquests, and afterwards the revival of the Europeans, the reformation of the Latin Church, the Emperor Charles V, the age of political experiments, the new empires of the Europeans in Asia and overseas. If I then speak with you of the American War of Independence, and the French Revolution, and the restoration of monarchy in France, and the uneasy peace in Europe that followed the fall of Napoleon. If I speak with you of the Industrial Revolution, the development of modern political and social ideas. If I then speak with you of the expansion of the United States, and the rise of Germany to predominance in Europe, the new overseas empires, the European aggression in Asia, the rise of Japan, the British Empire, the age of armament in Europe, the new order in Russia, the League of Nations, the failure of the League of Nations, the Second World War, the rise of Nazism, the fall of Nazism, the crisis that humanity has faced since World War II, I would be speaking with you about what?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Obama's path from critic to defender of spying is the headline story. There's another headline story that I can't omit before I get into this. Dianne Feinstein, who was one of the sleaziest, slimiest creatures in the history of the U.S. Senate, in my opinion, who had the face of being a defender of Israel's right to exist, has now attacked Israel and taken the side of Iran. She said, we cannot let Israel determine when and where the United States goes to war. And then she said, we absolutely should not put in sanctions against Iran. We should give them a chance to prove that they're not the Islamo-fascists that everyone knows they are. This is a woman who is probably the most powerful woman in America. She chairs the United States Senate Intelligence Committee. She knows the threat that Iran poses to the world, and yet she's taken their side, and yet she said give the fascists a chance, and yet she chooses to attack poor little Israel, stuck in the Middle East, surrounded by those who would cut their throats and kill their children. And anything Dianne Feinstein does, you have to ask, follow the money. Her and her husband, in my opinion, never do anything politically unless it benefits them personally. Now, we can't prove any of that. That's all opinion. But I can guarantee you there's something in this for her. Because it makes no sense that Dianne Feinstein would attack Israel like this. Clip one, please, Feinstein. Let me hear it.
And let me acknowledge Israel's real, well-founded concerns that a nuclear-armed Iran would threaten its very existence. I don't disagree with that. I agree with it. But we're not there yet. While I recognize and share Israel's concerns, we cannot let Israel determine when, where the United States goes to war.
Do you have any idea what she just said? Do you have any idea what she said? Hitler has said he will kill all the Jews, but we're going to give him a chance to prove he won't kill all the Jews. And we're not going to let the Jews defend themselves because they haven't been killed yet. So we'll let Hitler build the death camps. We'll let him build the railroad lines into the death camps, and we're not going to bomb those railroad lines because Hitler said he's not going to kill the Jews, even though he's building the ability to kill the Jews. Do you have any idea what this woman is? Do you have any idea what this government has become under these left-wing liars? These greedy liars? There's nothing in this, any of this, that's not about money. Nothing in it except money, 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 money. It's all about the money. Make no mistake about it, it's all fraudulent. They may as well be created by a television program that fabricates their faces and their voices, and that they themselves don't actually exist. It's as though there's a supercomputer running the world right now, and that there is no Obama, there is no Feinstein, there is no Cornyn, there is no Graham, there is no Rubio, that they're all created in some laboratory, in some computer laboratory, to give little speeches to incite our anger, to incite our love, to incite our respect, to get us to vote for them as though there's actually a chance in the voting process anymore. The phone number is 855-400-7282, 855-400-7282. In the interim, while you're calling us, I will go to the news. Eric Holder, your head of the Justice Department, wants race-based quotas in school discipline. He says too many blacks are being suspended. That's interesting. Holder wants race-based quotas in school discipline. He says blacks, too many blacks are being suspended. Now, I have a question for you. Does he assume that they're being suspended because they're black or because they're problems? He says it's racism? So now he wants to redistribute discipline among all the students? This is unbelievable to me. I've never heard of anything like this. What does this mean? Well, you can call on that if you wish. The phone number is 855-400-7282. There are other stories, bigger stories than that one, by the way. I'll admit they are. One giant story is the story about how many Democrats are now retiring. They're running away from Obama and Obamacare. Their polls, their internal polls have told them that they can't win. And this is the very good news for us. We just may see an end of the Democrat-Socialist juggernaut in the U.S. Senate. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to have a conservative victory. It doesn't mean that at all. We're going to have a centrist victory, which I will take over nothing. I'll take a centrist victory over a socialist government. How about you? We have Barack Obama, a living, breathing dragon, telling us in no uncertain terms, I'm on the side of Iran. I'm going to let them develop a nuclear weapon while telling you I'm not. I'm on the side of a dictatorship. I'm going to use a pen and executive order to do any damn thing I want because no one could stop me. And this is what liberalism has wrought. During the last few months, going back to the so-called November deal, do you know what has happened? Tehran has continued to grow its nuclear program. They introduced a new generation of centrifuges to their facilities in Natanz and Fordo. They vigorously have built up their Iraq heavy water facility. During this period of the Kerry-Obama accord with Iran, Iran added 1,000 pounds to its stockpile of uranium enriched to 5% and 66 pounds to its 20% stock, making it this close to a nuclear weapon. Also, Obama's friends in Iran turned away the International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors when these inspectors sought to visit the Parchin military base where the IAEA indicates the Iranians are experimenting with ways to weaponize nukes. This is what Obama has done to the world's nuclear stockpile. While talking about taking down our nuclear stockpile, he is permitting Iran to build up their nuclear stockpile. While talking about defending Israel, he's literally putting Israel on the chopping block for reasons that you can pretty much understand. So it's a very dangerous time that we're living in right now. This is no longer rhetoric. This is extremely important. 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. But let's go back to the big kahuna on the show, okay? The big kahuna is Iran being given the green light to get the bomb. They're boasting that that's what Obama gave them. Obama says give peace a chance. Iran says that the world power surrendered to Iran's will. General of Iran, the chief top general, said America is pursuing diplomacy under Obama because they cannot defeat us militarily. And Israel, rightly so, is saying Kerry is messianic. Please go get a Nobel Peace Prize and leave us alone. And this is setting off some shockwaves across the landscape. So we find out that Obama and Kerry surrendered to Iran with a nuclear deal that will let them develop a nuclear weapon. Rouhani, the dictator of Iran, boasted on Twitter that the United States and other world powers surrendered to Tehran with the newly struck nuclear deal signed by Obama and Kerry. He said they've given in to them. The world powers surrendered to Iranian nation's will. A tweet from the Iranian leader's account said on Tuesday. Obama, though, said that it's a wonderful, wonderful plan and that he's going to eliminate any sanctions against Iran and that it represents give peace a chance. What's amazing to me is that Jews still vote for Obama. Now, I don't mean left-wing Jews who hate Israel. I don't mean self-hating Jews at all. I'm talking about Jewish community leaders who are strong supporters of the Jewish state are continuing to vote for Obama and the Democrats. It's amazing to me. But to top it off, there's a very, very strange creature in Florida named, she's the DNC chair, no less, one of the most twisted individuals in the history of the world, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who says one thing to the Jewish supporters in Florida, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz says another thing in Washington. She blocked the House resolution that would have backed new sanctions against Iran. And then she went to her hometown, which is filled with Jewish supporters, and she said she's open to new sanctions. And Jews don't wake up. I don't understand it. She worked behind the scenes to kill any sanctions against Iran. And then she works with the Jewish community saying she's for sanctions. And the Jewish community goes and gives her money and goes to Obama and throws themselves at his feet. Now, that's one topic. And the question is, how can any Jewish supporter of Israel continue to vote for any Democrat at all? I don't understand it. It seems to be insane. Anyone analyzing this understands that the world power surrendered to Iran? Anyone analyzing this will agree with the thesis of my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, where I said he treats enemies like friends and friends like enemies. This book is extremely well researched. And that includes the American people themselves, who this dictator considers to be his personal enemy. Anyone who doesn't knuckle under to him is his enemy. It's shocking how anyone can continue to vote for him who has an IQ over 75 after taking Fisher. It's said that the Jewish people are supposed to be some of the smartest people in America. In fact, there's a new book by a Chinese-American woman who says that amongst the nine most successful groups in America or the world, one of which is the Jewish people. That's an interesting statement. How is it that the Jewish people are so smart that they would support someone like Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Barack Obama? I don't understand the answer to this question. The world has surrendered to Iran. Iran will develop a nuclear weapon. And you'll say, well, who cares? I really don't care. All I care about is what's the next episode of Duck Dynasty. That's the average American, the Deliverance people. Now, I myself never liked the movie Deliverance, nor did I ever identify with the people in the movie Deliverance, nor do I give a rat's behind about duck hunters, to be very honest with you. But what I do care about more than anything is national security. Obama selling Israel out. We'll talk about why the Jewish community continues to support him. Meanwhile, we're reading that we're living in a police state, and we see that there is no press anymore. We see that the New York Times is now a wholly owned organ of the Obama administration. Michael Savage wrote in 1998 in his speech before the Commonwealth Club, "Beware the government media complex." Boy, was I right. I wish I had been wrong. I'll ask you the question again. Do you think the Islamofascists have won? I mean, I do. They've won. They've turned us into a police state. They've given the government the right to spy on us, to question us, to fear us. And by the way, they haven't stopped the Islamofascists, did they? What happened at the Boston Marathon bombing with the great police state? How come the Islamofascists have won? How come they were able to get away with the Boston Marathon bombing, the Sarnoff brothers, while every one of us now is suspect to the hidden spies in this government under this so-called liberal? The phone number is 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Obama came to power as an anti-war candidate. So you figured, all right, the first thing he would do is take our troops out of Afghanistan. But within a month, he sent 30,000 troops to Afghanistan. I said, wait a minute. This tells me everything I need to know about what's coming. It's going to be window dressing, but they're going to continue the policies that are being pushed by individuals. I don't even know who they are. Yeah, beware the government military-industrial complex. Eisenhower warned us about that. By the way, I want to make an announcement almost a year in advance so that you know it. I'll make the announcement without any more drama to it than that. It's 8 months from now. the elections, as you know, that are coming up next November, will determine the future course of America. The elections will determine whether we get the Senate in the hands of, let us say, even more rational centrists than these out-of-control left-wing fanatics who are running America off the rails, right? So if we can get the Senate in the hands of a few centrists, get rid of these Democrats, and many of them are bailing out because they know they can't win, we can possibly lobby those individuals in the Republican Party, should they win, to save this country. And I am going to try to do that, not only with this daily radio show, as long as God gives me the strength to do it. I have been working for 6 straight months now on a book that will not be out for months, but I have to tell you what it's called. Stopping the Coming Civil War. Stopping the Coming Civil War. Because as I see it, Obama is trying to drive us into a civil war in order to divide and conquer us. That's my theme. And he's got to be stopped. Now, you can laugh at me if you wish, but it's not a laughing matter, if you will. Why I say I'm trying to stop the coming civil war is because I see the increased polarization, the class warfare, the statement that there's one side of America that's pure evil when we are the ones who provide the taxes so that the takers can even get up in the morning and have a loaf of bread in their hands in the evening. He makes us the bad ones and the takers the good ones. He turns on our allies and supports our enemies. But my theme is specifically about domestic policy, stopping the coming civil war. Now, I want to give you one footnote on this. The publisher is not happy with the title. They think that I'm wrong. They don't think that Obama is trying to drive us into a civil war. I keep trying to tell them that he is. They say, well, explain it. Can you explain it to me? And I'm having to do this on a daily basis to the point where it's becoming difficult for me to explain it to you. I know what he's doing. By pitting one side in this country against the other, is that not a sort of civil war? What is a civil war? Does it have to be muskets and teach them? Why does it have to be muskets and shooting for it to be a civil war? He's created a civil war with his class warfare, with his harping on how evil those of us who make a living are, and his harping on how wonderful those who do nothing for society are. Is that not setting the seeds of a civil war? Are we not already, in fact, in the civil war, I argue, on a daily basis? Anyway, the book won't be out for 7 or 8 months. It's by Michael Savage. You can't buy it. There's no advance sale. It's called Stopping the Coming Civil War. Well, we come to the tail end of hour number 3 of the Savage Nation for the 16th of January, 2014. It's Thursday. It's a good day. Thursday's a good day because it's before TGIF. I always love Thursdays. So what are the headlines? Well, let's go to michaelsavage.com and other sites for your headline delight. UN climate chief says communism is best to fight warming. I knew it. Now communism is going to help fight carbon. Tell that to Marx and Lenin. Now the Washington Times says Chris Christie's team is accused of mafia-esque rule over New Jersey. Tony Soprano, where are you? 13,000 teens complete Hamas training camps to emulate suicide martyrs. Oh, boy. Wow. Oh, ho-hum. Well, sit and wait for the vests to arrive. I used to get a suit with a vest. I don't understand the difference. What kind of vest do they wear? Oh, they're not the same as I. New London Daily Mail story is shocking. One of the head advisors to the British military says Obama is chronically incapable of military strategy. They say he is clueless about what he wants to do in the world. You hear this? Wait, this is even worse what's coming. Obama purged another 34 nuke missile officers. Who is he putting inside the silos? Members of ACORN? We don't know. We don't know what this man is capable of. All I can tell you is it doesn't look very good. It doesn't look very good indeed. There's another story that we've been talking about on the program that you shouldn't, omit. Dianne Feinstein, are you ready for this? Said that we cannot let Israel determine when and where the United States goes to war. It's a shocking statement because she's making Israel the aggressor. When Israel's sitting there terrified that Iran's going to knock them off the planet. I don't know if Feinstein is senile or I would say follow the money. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. There's other stories, and they're all up on michaelsavage.com. Uh-oh, here comes the train. Back tomorrow. Remember, give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.